Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Mem Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Ches Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, he machta, there was a needle, the shtaka b'chaticha de kavda, that was cut, found in a piece of the liver. Says the Gemara, Sava Ma'abred of Yosef, Lemitrafe. Ma'abred of Yosef assumed that this is treif. Amalei Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says to him, if we would have found a needle in a plain piece of meat, would you have also said that it's treif? Of course not, because a puncture in a plain piece of meat will not make the meat non-kosher. So he says, just like if we found in a regular piece of meat, you would be comfortable in saying that you would be comfortable in assuming that the meat is kosher. It should be the same, he says, when you find it in a piece of liver. Ella, therefore, says Rav Ashi, what we need to do is chazina. We have to do the following examination. If we see that the needle, if the head of the needle, the part that contains the eye, not the sharp, the pointy part, is outside the liver, and the tip of the needle is in the liver. So that's a proof that has come into the liver by coming from the outside. It couldn't exit the liver if it had the blunt side facing out. It must have come through the digestive tract, and that's how it got into the liver. And because it traveled through the digestive tract, that's why the animal's treifa, because as we've learned so many times, and we'll continue learning Mitzvah Shem, that a puncture in anywhere, in any of the internal organs of the animal, will make the animal non-kosher. And therefore, if it traveled this way, it must be that it's a non-kosher animal. However, ikupel gav, sepunin nakavasei, however, if the blunt part of the needle is protruding from the liver itself, then we could assume that it came through, even though, as we said yesterday in our shiur, that it's not common that this would happen, but it can happen that it traveled through the kana, it traveled through the trachea, and therefore that's how it came directly to the liver. It did not travel through the stomach and the entire insides of the animal. Because it didn't travel through the stomach and the inside of the animal, so there it didn't have the opportunity to puncture those part of the animals. V'hanimili, it says the Gemara, this is only only in the case of a large needle. So if it's a large needle, that's why it doesn't make a hole with a thick side that's not pointing. Avokatinta, if you have a small needle that can make a puncture even with the non-sharp side of the animal, if it can make a puncture even not with the sharp side of the animal, so therefore it doesn't make a difference. Leshna kupel gav, leshna kupel ba, it doesn't make a difference which direction it's pointed. We always have to be concerned, as we said a moment ago, that it traveled through the internal organs, the stomach, etc., the intestines of the animal. And if it traveled through the stomach and the intestines of the animal, and it's a pointy, and it's pointy because here in a small needle, as we're explaining, both sides are pointy. So therefore, we have to be concerned that it punctured the inside of the animal, and since it punctured the inside of the animal, that made it into a treifa. Ask the Gemara, but why is this halacha different than what we learned in the following braisa? What a braisa says, machet shenemtsa b'erbi beis hakosis, if we find a needle in the beis hakosis, which as we started the perek with learning, that it's one of the stomachs, and we found it sticking out from the wall, the double wall, as we said, that the stomach has, says the, we learned the halacha is, mitzad echad ksheira, if it only is protruding from the inner wall, then the animal is considered kosher, because we assume that only the inner wall was punctured, but not the outer wall. And that, and as we've learned many times, for it to be treif, we have to have that both walls were punctured. If both walls weren't punctured, we need not be concerned that it's treif. Mishnei tzadim, but if it's puncturing both, if it's going through and through, and it's puncturing both layers, we say that it's treifa. And the Gemara says we don't begin this examination, the lime renin, we don't say, let's see, kupla bar, kupla gav, we don't start determining if it, where, how, in what direction the eye of the needle is, and what direction is the eye of the needle, what section is the sharp point of the needle. Amri, says the Gemara, hasam, when we speak about the stomach, kiven dik oich lamashkim, since there's a lot of food and beverage liquids in that area, ema oich lamashkim dechkua, we have to be concerned that they drove the needle into the wall. And therefore, therefore it doesn't make a difference in what direction the needle is facing. But in the case of a liver, where there's nothing inside the liver to move the needle, it's not possible for the needle to exit head first. Thus, the braisa is not a stira to what Rav Ashi just said. Says the Gemara, Hahu machta shtaka b'simpuna rabba de kavda. There was a needle that was found in the main blood vessel, in the main blood vessel of the liver. Says the Gemara, Huna ba'abereder of Idi Tarif. Huna ma'abereder said that this is treif. He says it must have gone through the digestive tract, and therefore, since it went through the digestive tract, so we have to be concerned that it punctured one of the stomach or one of the internal organs. Rav Adaba Minyuni Machshel. Also Shaila Ravina, they went and asked the Ravina what to do. Amalei, and he said, Shaklima Glima the Trefoi. He said that the one that paskined, that was treif, paskined incorrectly. And therefore, since he paskined incorrectly, take away his coat that it should be used to pay for this incorrect psak. So the Rashba explains that he's treating this case different than the case of something that was found in the reya, in the lungs. There we said that we're not sure how to paskin, if l'chumra. But here he was more machmer. And explains, and the Tosfos Rosh explains that since it was found in this blood vessel, this major blood artery in the liver, it's different than what was found in the rea. In the rea, as we said, since the rea is directly connected to the kana, so there we have to be concerned more that the kana is what is a travel through the kana. And as we've been saying throughout Shiurim, even though traveling through the kana is unusual, but when it travels through the kana, it doesn't necessarily make it a treifa. But here, it's much more of a concern that it did not come through the kana, and that's why he was more machmer in this case than he was machmer than if it would be found in the reya, if it would be found in the lung. Continues the Gemara. There was a pit, a date pit, that was found in the gallbladder of an animal. On Rav Ashi, so this was ready, it was found after the animal was already slaughtered. Says the Markiaver Be'er Rav Kahana, he says, when we were studying in Rav Kahana's yeshiva, we have to certainly assume that this pit came through the kana, into the from the liver into the gallbladder, because it's unlikely that it came in any other way. And therefore, since it came through the kana, we could be lenient. Says the Gemara, Afgav de Nafka, even though it's so big that it didn't travel, it's hard to get it out, we still could assume that it came through the kana. Because if that's the case, why, if it's so big, how can we make that assumption? Says the Gemara, Mirbarhu de Ravale. The animal keeps on walking and moving, and that causes the pit to end up traveling even through places that are narrow, says the Gemara. But this, says the Gemara, Hani Mila de Dikla, it's only the pit of a date, which is not sharp, and it didn't cut its way into where it is. Aval de Zesa, when we speak about the pit of an olive, the Nivza Baza, which is sharp, so since the pit of a date is sharp, we have to be concerned that it traveled through the body of the animal and cut and punctured different parts of the animal. Amar Rav Yochanan says the Rav Yochanan lam nekashma reya. Why is the reya called the reya? Shemira esenayim. It causes, says the Gemara, the eyes to glow. Says the Gemara. The Maram Shif explains why was this question specifically asked about the reya more than any organ. Says the Gemara, so the Maram Shif explains, as we've been learning in our Shurim, and we'll be continuing to learn in our Shurim, that the various parts of the Reya were all given names. Una, Uma, they were given all sorts of names. So if they were all given names, why does the Reya have to have a new name? So it comes to teach us that even though the Reya has its own noon, that even though the Reya, the various parts of the Reya, have their own names, it still has its a new name, Reya, because of the special quality that it has, Shemi'ira Senayim. To which the Gemara asks, Ibailu Lachila Oysavimonim. When we said that it has, it's so special, what is it meant when we say it's so special? Is it special that if it's eat straight? Or is it only special if it's eaten together with other medicines or other herbs that are mixed into it? Says the Gemara, Tashma, Dam Rav Huna by Yehuda, Avza Bezuza. When we buy a goose, the price of a goose, says the Gemara, the price of a goose is a zuza. Rei the day, when we buy the long of it, arba, says the Gemara, if we're saying that what makes the reya so special is because when we eat it, it's so healthy for our eyesight. Just buy a whole goose and extract the reya. Ella, what the Gemara means, says the Gemara, Alidei Samonim. What makes the reya special is when it's eaten with other medicine, with other medicines mixed into it. So reya that you buy could be part of a goose that the whole goose is not worth a zuza. But when it has the other ingredients is what makes it more expensive. So I saw that the Mefarsh, the Prima Gadim, discusses that maybe the reason it's called Reya is based on the halacha that we've been discussing so many times in our Masechta. We've been discussing numerous times in our Masechta that what makes the Reya, that what makes the Reya so special is that we always have to examine the Reya, not like the other animal parts of the animal. So he says that the Gemara is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. I saw this for Rav Hirschsprung from Montreal's Zetzal. He says that Rabbi Yochanan hold that everything has to be examined. So then the Reya doesn't deserve that special title of Reya. So must be the reason that it has the special title of Reya, is as he explains, because the Reya is Meira, it's Meira Sinayim. And I saw, in fact, a very interesting minig. The minig was in certain communities that on Rosh Hashanah by night, they would eat long meat. And the reason that they would eat long meat is because we eat all various foods on Rosh Hashanah by night, which are simonim, good sign for the new year to come. And they used to eat it, and I saw that the Sefer Ruach Chaim would say that, which says that when they would eat this Reya longs at Rosh Hashanah by night, they would say, Reino Hashem ben Yenu, Reiva Reveinu, Umahe Legaleinu Gula Shleim Laman Shmecha, Yeratzo Fanech Hashem Elokeinu Velokei Veseinu, Shetor Eseinenu B'mar Teresecha. A special tefillah connected to the Reya. And I saw that the fact was, that was the minig that Rabbi Pinchas Mikaretz, and 1 year that he had sort of vision problems before Rosh Hashanah, or I don't know if it was one of the Chassidim who had it, he would give it to eat. However, I did see that there were Achronim that did not support this minig, and the reason there were Achronim that didn't support this minig is because apparently they used to have a serious issue that the raya, the lung, had insects, had worms in them. And of course we know how much we have to be machmer about that. And therefore, since we have to be so machmer, that's why they were machmer to take they would not eat the ray if there's a question of infestation. Says the Gemara, inkva raya. Says the Gemara, what's the halacha if the raya is found to have a hole? In a place where the butcher pokes the lung after shechita. And the question is, talinan or lo talinan? Do we assume that this hole that we see now happened after the shechita, and it happened because of what the butcher was touching, or lo talinan, or we don't take that approach? And the way I saw Rashi and other Rishonim explain this Gemara is because the place where the lungs are in the animal's body, it's a tight fit to put your hands in there. And therefore, since it's a tight fit to put your hands in there, it's very possible that when you push your hand in there, you made a hole. Or, as we've learned, many times they try to remove the raya to be able to examine the raya, and it's very possible when they had a knife to try to remove the raya, it caused that it should be cut. Says the Gemara, Rav Adar bar Nasan Amar Talinan. Rav Adar bar Nasan's opinion is that we could take this lenient approach. Mazur Tabei the Maravi Amar Loi Talinan. We don't take that approach, and we don't assume that that's what happened. Says the Gemara, but what is the halacha? The halacha is Talinan. We take the lenient approach, and we assume that it was the hand or the knife that made this hole. Says the Gemara. My father was one of the heads of the Kala of Raphim, which means they used to have a number of times during the year a public shear. It was called the Kala. And my father was the Maggid shear at those events. And he said that when we have this type of situation, we could be lenient. Says the Gemara, Amr Kamela Ha. Amru kameh de mazut de mariv kibla. They said what he just said, that what Rav Shmuel said about his father, they said it in to Mazutra, the son of Ramari, and he wasn't willing to accept it. He wasn't willing to be lenient when he found such a hole. Amr Vashi, Armashasha, Kavasa Davu Dava Mastabra. My grandfather's opinion, he was a grandson of Rav Achav Anosin, makes sense. The Talinan Zev. We learned before that when we find sometimes a puncture by a Nekev, we have reason to believe that it was a fox that made that hole. That loch is a wolf that made the hole. We are lenient. So here too, if we have such a reason to be lenient, we take the approach of leniency, and we're not machmer. Continues the Gemara. Marana, as we spoke before, lungs often had in them worms. Marana, if we find a worm in the lung, can we assume that the hole came from the lung? Says the Gemara, Pligabar Rav Yosef bar Dosoi v'Rabbanan. Chara mekodem shechita parush. We assume that the worm exited the lung and made a hole in it before the shechita, and therefore the animal is treif. Chara ma lach shechita parush. And the other one says that we could assume that it only came out. We can assume that it came out because the Mefarshim explained that while the animal's alive, so the worm keeps on shaking as the animal moves. And since the worm keeps on shaking as the animal moves, we could assume that that's why the worm did not have the opportunity to make the hole. Another, it's interesting that the Taz and Simulam Vosif Katan Ches bring down different ways of being able to determine if the hole was made while the animal was alive or if the hole was made after the animal is no longer alive. Now, furthermore, there are other rules attached to this. There has to be that we don't say that it happened. It's only in what the different places in the lung that makes a difference where the worms are found. And says the Gemara, the Hilchasa, the halacha is that we assume lach shchita parish, that it came out after the shchita, and since it only came out after the shchita, we have reason to be lenient. Says Rameya Simcha, a very interesting approach to this Gemara. His approach to the Gemara is that even if we assume that the hole was made by the worm while the animal is alive, the animal will not be treif, because he says a very bechidish. The worms become considered part of the reya, and since they become part of the reya, even if they make a hole, the hole is closed up by those worms, and therefore it's a hole that we don't have to be considered. We don't have to be considered, and we could be makel. So now, halach lemaisa. So the Shach says that we assume that it happened, that we have a suffix when it happened, and since we have an animal that was slaughtered properly, so he says that's enough for us to assume that it happened, that the hole was only made after the animal died. Others say that it's not just a suffix. It goes back to something that we said before, that it's unlikely for the worms to be able to make a hole in the animal while the animal's alive. And since it's unlikely for the animal to make a hole while the animal is still alive, so therefore we're lenient. So as we explained, since it's unlikely that the worm tried to leave while the animal was alive, and it's also difficult for it to make a hole while the animal's alive, we have reason to be makel. There, Tfuah Shor makes an interesting point. He says, what will be the halacha if a worm is found crawling towards the inside of the lung, if a worm is found crawling outside the stomach or another organ? He says, in a case, the first reason that we gave, that the worms like the environment and they find themselves, and that's why it's unlikely that they're going out and making a hole, that's only if they find the worm traveling inside. But if we see that this worm is traveling outside of the animal, that's clearly an indication that this animal wasn't satisfied inside the animal, and we can't say it was staying there not making holes. According to the second reason, that the movement is what prevents it from making a hole, so it doesn't make a difference. It was found traveling inside another. What would be the halacha if it was found in one of the other organs? So we've been learning in our shir that why, when it's found in the lung, do we take this lenient approach? Because we say that while it's in the lung, the lungs is constantly blowing up in and out, and since the lung is constantly blowing in and out, that prevents the worm from making a stomach. But if that's the way to understand, so that would only be by the lungs that are constantly throbbing, but somewhere else we wouldn't have that heter. The also discussion I saw on the Paiskin is, what's the halacha if you find a worm inside the an esrog? So the Paiskim discussed this, the Chasam Sofer discusses it, and he says that if we find a worm inside the esrog, we have to concern there was a hole in the esrog before, and since there was a hole in the esrog before, even though we might not have seen the hole, but the worm could have only entered by making such a hole, that's why the esrog is possible. And explains that the Cheshuki Chemed, we can't say that the Heter that was saying again, by the lung, which we said two explanations just now,
either because it's very warm inside the lung or because the lung is constantly moving, that doesn't apply by an esrig, and that's why it would have to be machmer by the esrig. Rav Shimon Omer, the Mishnah says that achtanakov, the lung, a lung is not treif because it has a hole, unless the hole went all the way into the sinus of the lung. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba bar Tachlifa, Amar Rabbi Yemi Baba, achtanakov, when we're speaking about this halacha, it means achtanakov l'simkin agadol. The primary bronchi has to have the hole. Says the Gemara, Yosef Ravacha, Baraba Kameda, Funav Yosef Kama, Amar Ramalach, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Halacha Rav Shimon, the halacha is like Rav Shimon. Amar Ramalach, Arva Kama. So at that point, Rav Huna said to Ravacha Baraba, are you referring to Malach from Arabia? Says the Gemara, if that's who you're referring to, he said, Ein Halacha Rav Shimon Kama. If you're trying to quote that opinion, that opinion actually said the halacha is not good Rav Shimon. Says the Gemara, Kesolik Rav Zeira. When Rav Zeira came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Ashkel Rabbi Bibi the Yosef Kamar, he met Rabbi Bibi who was saying, Abra Malach Amar Mishu Ben Levi, Halach Rav Shimon. He said, the Halach is like Rav Shimon. Amalei, so at that point, Rav Zeira said to Rabbi Bibi, Chai Demar, he said, Ashvua, the Nov Rav Chia Bar Abba Rav Asi, Aklina Lesser de Ramalach, we came to where Ramalach was the Rav, Vamrilei, Iom Amar Halach Rav Shimon, they say that the halacha is like Rav Shimon, Vamalan, and he told us actually what he said was that ain't halacha Rav Shimon Amri. Ramalach said, I actually said the halacha is not Rav Shimon. Vat, and now he said, Rabbi Bibi asked Rabbi Zeira, what do you know about this question? Amalei, to which he responded, Hacham Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ami, Amri Bishun Balevi, that the halacha is like Rav Shimon, but says the Gemara, actually, ain't halacha to Rav Shimon, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon, and Rashi explains that many times we have these types of questions, and it was the Chachmei Talmud Achroinim, the latest Amoraim, who had to paskin the Shailas, and paskin that this is awesome. The Torah is very strict and teaches us, Kol Chelu V'Chol Dam Lo Yisei Chelu, and this din, that we're not allowed to eat the chelu of an animal, is stated in the Torah after the psukim that speak about the various chelu, the various fats that are put on the mizbeach. And we learn that way, that from here we learn that any of the fats that are put on the mizbeach are those fats which we may not eat. And that's how we begin now to shear to determine beginning a discussion about fats. So, of course, the cave is the stomach. And we learned in the Mishnah, Nikva, Keva, that the stomach has a hole, the animal's a trefa. To which says the Gemara, Amar Yitzchak ben Nachmeni, Amar Boishir, Chelu shel gabe keva, the chelu that's on that top of the keva, says the Gemara, Kahanim nagu beheter, the Kahanim who get the keva as one as the Matnas Kuna, they would say it's permitted, as Rabbi Shmuel said in the name of his forefathers, and the way to remember that was the psak of Rabbi Shmuel is because Rabbi Shmuel, who was a kohen, Messiah Kahani, he was the one that supported the kahanim and helped them be able to get the keva, which he held is mutter. So the Chasam Sofer explains that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that the Kahanim actually ate that chelev, because he explains that the Kahanim were the people who were his reason, who were the greatest Talmid Chachamim. And we've been learning in our Shurim about Basar Shari B'Chachim. So it's difficult to assume that they ate that chelev. What it means to say is that they were lenient with this chelev. We're going to have different questions where the halacha will be, that even though it's maybe not chelev, but there's room for leniency. So I saw that there's another question that the Rosh Hashanah asked. The Gemara, later in the Masechta, on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph on the base, teaches us that the Kahanim used to give back the keva to the owner. So what is he helping the Kohanim if they're not keeping it anyway? So he explains that the Rishonim explained that even though the Kohanim did not typically eat the keva, but the fact that they could have given it, the fact that they could eat it, and they chose, and that is enough to be considered that he's Messiah Kohanim. Says the Gemara, Mahi, where are we saying that the Gemara, this is the way the Mefarshim Tosfos explained the Gemara's question. The Gemara is saying that Rav Shmuel had a habit of being Messiah Kohanim, to be helpful to the Kohanim. So Gemara wants to know, where do we find that in another place? Says Mother Tanya, the Pasuk says, when the Torah speaks about Brichas Kohanim, the Pasuk says, Kosev Archus B'nai Yisrael. Shmuel Omer, Laman the Baruch Yisrael Mipi Kohanim. We know that the Kohanim are the ones that give the bracha to Klal Yisrael. However, says the Gemara, Kohanim Atzmon Lo Lamanu. We don't see any precedent that the Kohanim themselves, says the Gemara, we don't have any precedent that the Kohanim themselves get a bracha. Kishuimer, but when the Pasuk says, Rabbi Shmuel says, Vani Avarchem, says the Gemara, what was meant by saying Vani Avarchem? Have a Imer, what that means to say is, HaKadosh, Kohanim Avarchem Yisrael, the Kohanim are the ones that give us the bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mavarch LeKohanim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a bracha to the Kohanim. Akiva says, Lamanu Baruch Hu Yisrael Mepi Kohanim, we see that the Kohanim give Klai Yisrael bracha. However, Mepi Gvura, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also participating in giving Klai Yisrael a bracha loy lamadu. We don't have such a pasuk. Shoimer, from here we see Vani Avarchim. What does that mean? Kahanim Avarchim Yisrael. The Kahanim give Klai Yisrael bracha. And as they're giving Klai Yisrael bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu maskim al yodim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to that bracha. Ask the Gemara, so Rabbi Shmuel has been able to identify how the Kohanim get a bracha. But ask the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, bracha l'kohanim enole. How does Rabbi Kiva learn that the Kohanim got a bracha? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, because the Pasuk says, Avarchem avarchecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu that whoever gives you a bracha, whoever gives Avram Avinu's children, then they will themselves be best. Ask, says the Gemara, if that's the case, so what makes what Rabbi Shmuel said about Kohanim so much more special that the Gemara has given him a title that he's Messiah Kohanim, that he's so supportive of the Kohanim? Says the Gemara, Lemukilei Lebrichas Kohanim B'Makom Bracha Yisrael. He says that the bracha that they get alone is better, that is not as that. They get the bracha to they get the bracha together with Klal Yisrael, not that they get the bracha separately from Klal Yisrael. The Kodesh Baruch Hu Maskim Al Yodam says the Meiri a very important lesson. The Meiri says La'olam Yeliba Shel Adam Mechuvan LaShemayim. A person during Birkas Kohanim should be thinking about the bracha that we're receiving Shemayim. Sha'af Pisha Brachim Vi Kohanim. Even though it's the Kohanim that recite the bracha. We have to always remember that the bracha that's recited by Brichas Kohanim is a bracha that we receive from Kadosh Baruch Hu, because that's the primary bracha. I saw that the Ksav Sofer explains. The Pasuk says, Kosev Archas B'nai Yisrael Amalahem. Says the Gemara Masech the Soita, Daf Lamed Ches Amar Aleph, Kosev Archas B'loshan HaKodesh. And many Rishayim already tried to understand why does Birkas Kohanim have to be specifically B'Loshan Kodesh. We know Tefillah and Birkas HaMazon could be in any language. Why is there a special rule that Birkas Kohanim has to be B'Loshan Kodesh? So the Ksav Sofer explains that every word of the Birkas Kohanim has very many meanings. It means different explanation, Yivarecha, the first word could mean Yivarecha B'mamon, that you should be financially secure, Yivarecha B'banim, you should have children. So what happens is, we specifically have to say it in Lashon Kodesh. The Kohanim say the bracha in Lashon Kodesh, and every word of those, of that bracha, has a very deep meaning. And what the Gemara says here, says the Ksav Sofer, is V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu maskim al yodam. What that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim that all of those different explanations of every word of the Brichas Kohanim is going to be fulfilled. Another pshat that I saw, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevarach l'kohanim, is that while the Kohanim are giving the bracha to Klal Yisrael, they realize that it's not that they are not the source of the bracha. They realize that the source of the bracha is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the bracha. When they recognize that the bracha that they're giving is only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they realize that then they are worthy of receiving a bracha. Similarly, the Das Sofer says that when the Kohanim give the bracha, they give the bracha because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to give this bracha. And when they give the bracha because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to give the bracha, that's a time where everybody gets a bracha. The Sefer Achpri Tuvua says that our Gemara has two different sources. How we know the Kohanim get bracha? Is it from Avarcham Avarcha, or is it from Vani Avarchim? So the Sefer Achpri Tuvua says there are two ways how bracha can be given. One can be given through with Gashmius, and the other one could be Ruchnius. And that's what he says. If the bracha is from the Kohanim, so the Kohanim who symbolize Ruchnius, so the bracha is on the Ruchnius side. If the bracha is being given because Ani Avarchim Avarecha, it's speaking about the bracha that's been given from the Gashmius side. And both bracha should be given. The Gemara also here says that when do Kohanim get the bracha? The Kohanim get the bracha when they bring a bracha to Klal Yisrael. So I saw the Sefer Chashukei Chemed, based on this, suggest since they're giving the bracha at the time that Klal Yisrael is getting blessed, so he wants to suggest that if there was somebody who was particularly generous, and he was so generous that he gave a very generous gift to the community, to the yeshiva, to the shul, and they want to publicly make a mishaberech for him. The proper time, he says, to make that mishaberech is when we say Yukim Purkan on Shabbos. Because since that's the time where all of Klal Yisrael getting a bracha, and we're learning here that we all get a bracha, and then we can give a bracha, that's the time that they also receive a bracha. So that's the right time to say the bracha. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel, I'm Rav Shmuel, voice of Mahi. He said before that Rav Shmuel reported from his forefathers about the Chel of Akeva. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, V'ikr b'zevach ishlam ish l'Hashem as a Chel m'chassas akerev. And then the Pasuk says, as kol ha-chel of asher al-akerev. What is the Pasuk trying to teach us with kol? L'havi chel v'shagab adakin. The Torah is coming to teach us that the chelev that's found on top of the intestines, divrei Rav Shmuel, that Rav Shmuel is that he's come to teach us that you're allowed to eat that chelev. Rekiva says that it comes to teach us the flat agaba keva, the flat on top of the stomach. Says the Gemara, according to Rav Shmuel, the halacha you're allowed to eat that fat. And therefore, he was Messiah Kahanim. And that's why he gets the name of Messiah Kahanim. Ask the Gemara Vermini, the Brisa says, was kol ha-chel v'asher al-kerev, Rav Shmuel Omer, ma-chel v'amechasas al-kerev. If we look at the chelev that's found on the kerev, if we look at that chelev, it's krum, it's the kerev is covered with a membrane, the niklef, that's easily peeled away. Af kol krum the niklef. Any chelev that could easily be peeled away. That says the Gemara, according to Shmuel, the fat that is osur has to have two features, and therefore this fat is Eser. I've called Kruvanekov. Rav Kiva says, when we speak about Chelev, Ma Chelev HaMechas is a Kerev Tois of Kruvanekov. When we speak about Chelev, it has to be draped, has to be in a membrane that can easily peeled away. I've called Tois of Kruvanekov, that is the kind of Chelev which is Eser. So here we have their opinions, just the opposite from the first Braisa, says the Gemara, Sholach Rav Mishmed Rabbi Yochanan, Kachi Atzal Shal Mishnah. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. This is the proper way. And the opinions that we had in the previous Braisa, that were just the opinions that we had on in the previous Braisa, says the Gemara, the it's just the opposite. So ask the Gemara, we should reverse them. So asking my machaz is the up is kamaisa. Why are we reversing the opinions of the first braisa? Epich basraisa says the Gemara. Shani hakakim the ma'adafka. The second braisa speaks about the very clearly what everybody holds and why they hold. Yachke Rishmol. So if that's the case, and Rishmol is the Tana who says that this fat of is osur, because we're following the second Braisa, so then that, why are we calling Rabbi Shmuel the one that's Messiah Kahani? Why are we calling Rabbi Shmuel the one that supports the opinion of the Kahanim? It's actually not Rabbi Shmuel who's supporting the opinion of the Kahanim. It's Rabbi Kiva who's supporting the opinion of the Kahanim. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, way to understand this Gemara is Shomer Mishum Avosov. He was repeating, what his forefathers heard. However, Valele Sfirle, he personally doesn't agree. So when he's supporting his forefathers, he's supporting the Kahanim. It's not because that was his own personal opinion. It's supporting the Kahanim because that was the opinion of his forefathers. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Chelev Tar, if we have fat, that's fat that we're allowed to eat, Soysim. That's fat that if there's a puncture in the animal, but that fat is covering up the puncture, then that will be considered a good way of filling up the puncture, and it won't be treifa. Rashesh Summer, Rashesh says, whether kosher fat or non-kosher fat, soysim, echazav echazav soysim. Ask the Gemara furthermore. Boy, Reb Yirmiyos, and now the Gemara asks a question. And the Gemara asks, Boy, Reb Yirmiyos, chelev chaya. When we speak about chaylev, and we spoke about chaylev being osur, it's only chaylev of a behemoth that's osur. The chaylev of a chaya is not osur. So now, when we think about that, says the Gemara, and we're going to think about that, what does that mean? How do we understand that? Do we say dafka om a chaylev tar soysim? When Rav said the chaylev tar has the ability to close it up, he only meant that fat that you're allowed to eat is mutter. Fine, namitahu. If that's the way we're going to understand his statement, so this is also kosher fat. For as we just said, the chaylev of a chaya is kosher. A dilma, it's not because it's kosher or non-kosher. It's because it depends if the fat is strongly attached to the animal. If it's strongly attached to the animal, then it will cover up the hole, and therefore it has nothing to do if it's a chaya or behemah. It has to do how this chaylev looks. Amar Abaye, my Tabayloi, says Abaye, I don't understand your question. Ne'ed Shar Bechila, yes, we're allowed to eat the chaylev of a chaya, but even though we're allowed to eat the chaylev of a chaya, that doesn't mean it's tightly attached to the organ of the animal. And therefore, since it's not attached tightly to the organ of the animal, then the halacha is that it can't cover up the hole. So what was the Havamin of the Gemara? So the Ran explains that the Gemara and the Havamin thought that this rule that Chelev Tar closes up a hole is not because of a physical fact. It has to do with the kashrus of the Chelev. And therefore, if it's kosher, it's kosher. If it's not kosher, it's not kosher. It says, Mahu Nakav the Sasma Chelev Tameh Dosl Kameh Derava. There was a part of the animal, there was a puncture in the animal that was sealed by Chelev, that was brought to Rava. Amar Rava, Lamai Nechishla. What was the question here? Chada, says the Gemara, Damar Rav Shesh Chel of Tamin Nami Soisim, that even forbidden fat has the ability to seal up the hole. Vo'oid, HaTorah Chasam Amonish Yisrael. We have a precedent that the Torah is concerned about not Jews not losing money. What do I mean when I say, what is meant by that? There are many riots in the Torah that the Torah is concerned about extra expense. One riot that we find is that the Torah says that when there's a house, there might be a house of tzaras, the halacha is that we have to bring a kohen to examine the house. But the halacha tells us that the kohen upinos abayis should first clear out the house. And the Mefarshim explain what does he mean, because what's meant. Because if there's going to be tamei kelim in metal kelim in the house, when the house is declared tamei, so we could take them to the mikveh and they'll be tar. The only concern is about kli cheres, earthenware kelim, that we know the halacha is that shvirasim zutarasim, there's no way of taking them to the mikveh. And the kli cheres were typically inexpensive kelim. Yet we learn how the Torah is so concerned even about inexpensive kelim. So we see a Torah chasam amonish Yisrael. Another raya is when the Torah speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu getting water from the stone from in the Midbar. The pasuk says v'shkisas ha'eda v'espirum, that not only the people will have what to eat, to drink, but even the animals. Again, because a Torah chasam amonim Yisrael. So says the Gemara. Void ha'tar chasam amonish Yisrael. Says the Gemara. Amalei Rav, so to which Rav, Amalei Rapapa, who Rava, so Rapapa said to Rava, Rav is su deraisa. Rav holds that this chaliv is also deraisa. And something that's also deraisa, that amrit tatar chasim manush Yisrael, is that a consideration? Says the Gemara, Menyumin kandanka ikalei baska de dufsha. Menyumin, who was a person that worked with pottery, had a honey pot that was left uncovered. And we know that throughout Shas, we speak about something, a liquid left uncovered, there's a concern that a snake drank from it, and therefore we're not allowed to use that. Asla kamei de Rava, he wanted to know if he could use that honey. Om Rava lamei nachash loy. What is the concern? Chodu de tanan, one is that we learned in a Mishnah, Masechta Trumas, Sholosh Mashkin Asur Mishim Gili. There are only three liquids that we have to be concerned about being left open. Hayayin, wine, mayim, water, chol of milk. Shakal mashkim, all other liquids are mutarim, we don't have to be concerned. Void, he said to him, Hatar chasal manashi Yisrael, Amalei, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rava, Rav Shimon v'sakaras nefashis. We have the opinion of Shimon who's concerned by honey. And moreover, this is a question of sakaras nefashis. And you're going to apply that amrit atar chasam manish Yisrael? That's not a legitimate way of learning. Rav Shimon Mahi, so we just quoted the opinion of Rav Shimon. Ask him, what does that mean? Netanya, Kamisha Emem Shem Gilui. There are five liquids that there's no problem of Gilui on them. Tzir is fish sauce, Chaimetz is vinegar, Shemen is oil, Dvash is honey, and Murius. It's a dip that was made with the fat of the fish. Even those five liquids, we have to be concerned of gilui. I saw a snake drinking brine in Sidon. Amalai, Shat Yahava, that snake was unusual, and the Emavim Raim and Ashaitim. So says the Gemara, Amalai, Idolim is Bitsar, at least agree to me that we should, when we speak about brine, when they would have a question about liquid that was left open, they would put it into the brine, that the brine will neutralize any venom that might be there. So certainly, if the brine has the ability to neutralize the venom, it certainly should not be a concern. And then they said, at least agree by dvash that we don't follow the opinion of Rav Shimon. The Rav Shimon Belozakov, I say, that that at any rate we should follow the opinion of Shimon. The Rav Shimon ben Lazar Koykova say the Tanya v'Kein Hayir of Shimon ben Lazar Oisav Advash. He would say that when we talk about honey, honey does become usur when it's left open. When it's left open, that a snake could be able to drink from it. Again, there's a very big question if we have to be machmer on this halacha bizman azeh. On one hand, the Pais can take the approach. The Shulchan Aruch can take the approach that once the Gemara tells us it's usur, we have to be machmer. However, the Shulchan Aruch in Yoridei Simen Kuf Tazayin Sif Al says V'achshish Ein Nachoshim Metzuyim Beinenu. Nowadays, that there are no nechoshim, we could be lenient. And the Taisus explains that anything that Chazal said is osur because of a chshash. If the chshash goes away, then we don't have to be machmer on it. Other pshat that Taisus suggests is when they originally made the halach about gilui, they said it's only going to be osur as long as it represents a concern. In a time and place like we live now, where no longer represents a concern, it's not usur. Moreover, the Keren Ira, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, says that there are two categories. There's a category called Isser, and there's a category called Sakana. And they come with very different rules. And Isser, the halach is, once something Chazal said is usur, it's usur, it's usur forever. When we talk about Sakana, it was only made usur as long as it represents a sakana. Chazal up front said that something which is a sakana is not usur forever.